see why it somewhat connects to what we've been learning in our sugyas and kedushin about whether or not children can actually have obligations or not. We learned when we did bris milah, we did pidyon haben, we were introduced to this possibility. Maybe kids do have obligations. Right? Maybe our whole upbringing that children can't have obligations might not be 100% correct. So, Mitzvah Shem, that's going to be going forward. We're going to be looking at that. Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of mazel tov this week, which is always fantastic. I want to wish a mazel tov to Randy Lipstein on the birth of a grandson in California and a bris bismanai, which we shouldn't take for granted, as he'll tell you, is not never a simple thing. So, mazel tov and simchas, there's a lot of nachas from him and from all the grandchildren. Okay. Mazel tov to Ronnie Adler on the birth of a grandson as well, and a bris upcoming Monday and a bar mitzvah of a grandson this past Shabbos. So, Baruch Hashem, simchas by everyone, and we should only continue to get together for simchas. Very bekitzer on the parsha, because we have a lot to get to. There's just one moridic avard that I saw that really, you know, changed a little bit the outlook of giving. You know, this is the season of giving. You know, we're always asked to give money from Matanos of Yainim, and now Moschitin. We're constantly asked to give money during this season. And, you know, it's hard. But Moshe Feinstein writes, quotes a Targum Onkelos, that when the women came to donate the money for the Mishkan last week's parsha, it says they came decked out in their jewelry. They showed up to the Mishkan decked out with all the fanciest jewelry. They took it off and put it on the table. So Ramesh says, why was that the process? We always imagine they came with a bag, you know, put a grocery bag, put all the jewelry in, and when they dropped it off by the Mishkan. Ramesh says the women were trying to show the message that we're not giving you the stuff we don't want. You know, sometimes in life you give over your leftovers, stuff you don't need, you know, the clothing no one wears anyways, and you feel really good about yourself. Like, I'm a giver. Look what I gave. I gave that no one wants. Says Ramesh, no, the God listens. The women came and said, we love this jewelry. We want to wear it. And Alpha Pika, we're going to give it away. Despite the fact that we love it so much and it's so dear to us, and it's not our, you know, third string clothing. This is the one we wear to the wedding, but we're going to give it away anyways. And if Moshe writes, that's what we should do all mitzvahs. Very often in life we do mitzvahs because, like, you know, like, I have nothing else to do today, so fine, I'll go learn. You know, I have nothing else to do today, so I'll wake up early to go to chakras. No, it's supposed to be, I don't want to wake up early to go to chakras. It's hard, it's difficult, it's a struggle, it's a battle. And I still do it. Why? I do it because I, you know, I say to myself, I love Hashem. That's one I thought very interesting. But I found a very, very important message. Rav Pam quotes from the Ksav Sefer. In the Psukim, it says that the Jewish people came and they gave. Ish v'isha. It says at the end of the Pasuk, Ubnei Yisrael gave. So the Ksav Sefer asks, you told me the Ish v'isha gave. What's the Bnei Yisrael? So the Ksav Sefer answers, the Bnei Yisrael meant the children of the parents. The children saw how beautiful their parents' attitude was towards giving. They themselves gave. Now they took the little piggy bank and all their tooth money, and they brought it to the Mishkan also. Why? Because they saw that their parents had such a positive outlook and such a positive feeling towards giving, they wanted to do it also. No, it's such an important message. You know, we want to instill values. It's not going to work if we just tell them, you do this, you do that. If we do it with a beauty and a love, then they will pick it up naturally. They'll want to do it. They'll be excited to do it also. I thought it was a very profound lesson in life for ourselves and definitely to pass on to the next generation. Okay, we have over here a major sugi that we need to get to on the new page. But let's just finish up what we left off last week. Last week we were discussing a shayla and the rishonim. Would we force someone to get married? Would we force someone to get married? So let's take a look over at number 14, the Torah. The Torah writes, because of Adoni Avir Rosh, the Torah quotes from his father, the Rosh. Roik Sha'obru Elov Esrim Shon. We have a single guy who 20 years passed, Ve'ena Rois Elisa, and he doesn't want to get married. Bezdin Kaifin Oisa Elisa. Bezdin will force him to get married. Why? This is the important part. Why? De Lekayim Mitzvahs Privilege. What's the forcing? Why would you force a guy to get married? Not because of the mitzvah of marriage, but because of the mitzvah of Piriviv. So it sounds like from the Torah, it was quoting to Rosh, his father, that the reason behind the forcing, this is not the right one. Oh, this is the new sheet. This is the new one. The old one to be there also. The reason why we force someone to get married is not because we don't like people to be single. It's not because we want to have married people. It's because of the mitzvah of Piriviv. Oh, very good. That's what I'm getting at over here. I'm trying to be medayik from this Rosh that there might be no mitzvah to get married. The whole mitzvah to get married is just in relation to a perivirivya, but we force you to do marriage to get to perivirivya. That's what sounded from the words of the Torah, quoting from his father, the Rosh, which would mean there's two chidushim over here. Chidush number one is that we force you to get married, not because marriage is a mitzvah. Maybe marriage is not a mitzvah, but we force you to get married because we very much want you to have perivirivya, and that's the only way to have perivirivya. The problem with that is, if you learn the Rosh like that, we have a steer in the Rosh. There's a Rosh in Ksubas, number 15. It's a very, very famous Rosh. It's when anyone talks about the sugya of Sheva Brachas, you come across this Rosh. The Rosh is bothered with the kasha that if you go to a wedding and you listen to the Birchas Eberson under the chuppah, right? The Birchas Eberson under the chuppah is a very atypical type of bracha. Right? We think about a bracha. The bracha usually reflects the mitzvah that you're going to do. The Shmaya, Kol Shofar, Mikra Megillah, the Tehillah. So the mitzvah usually reflects the mitzvah. The bracha reflects the mitzvah you're doing. Comes to a chassan. What's the bracha of Erisin? Such a wacky, not wacky, but so off the page bracha. You don't say Hashem Kedushanu Mitzvanu Lasos Kedushin. We give a whole drasha. Hashem asked us to marry certain women. He permitted us to marry certain women through Chuppah V'Kedushin. What's going on over here? What's the text of the bracha? It clearly does not reflect the mitzvah. So the Rosh has a Chiddush in Ksubis, number 15. The Rosh writes, V'nir li ki bracha zu eina bracha l'asiyas ha-mitzvah. Says the Rosh, because it's not a birchas ha-mitzvah. That bracha that we make under the Chuppah, what we call birchas erusin, that is not a birchas ha-mitzvah. Why, says the Rosh? Ki pir v'rivya hainu kiyim ha-mitzvah. Because what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is pir v'rivya. That's the mitzvah. Marriage is not a mitzvah. What's the raya, says the Rosh? V'mlokach pilegesh. Let's say a guy wouldn't go through the channels of marriage. He would take a pilegesh, the kind of review, and he would talk, I have children with this pilegesh. He would not have to marry a lady. Why? Because the whole reason to marry a lady is just to have children. I already have the children. I'm good to go. The chain, says the Rosh. What would happen if you marry an older woman? Older, you know, second marriages, the woman is definitely not having children. It's not happening, right? Or a woman who can't have children. Let's say a guy can't have children. He's still going to make the same bracha. What are you going to say in that case? There's no perivivia happening over here. So what is the bracha for? Therefore, says the Rosh, the reason why the bracha doesn't reflect the mitzvah is because the mitzvah is not what you think it is. The mitzvah is not about giving kiddushin. The mitzvah is perivivia. That's the mitzvah. So what's the brichas ha-mitzvah? So he writes, the brichas ha-mitzvah is what we call today a brichas ha-shevach. That bracha that we make at a wedding is praising Hashem. It's not a brichas ha-mitzvah, because the mitzvah you're not doing now. When you give a girl a ring, you're not doing any mitzvahs. Preview is going to happen, you know, 9 months, 12 months, whatever, eventually they have a baby. But Zog de Rosh, and this is the part that we need, the Rosh is very clearly that the mitzvah kedushin is not a mitzvah. The only mitzvah is the mitzvah of preview. Now, why is that important for us? Because if that's true, so when the Rosh says we force someone to get married, it's clearly only because of Perivivya, not because Kedushin is a marriage. But now I have a different question. If the Russian Ksubis is right, they can have a Pilegesh. So if I go over to a 22-year-old boy and the boy says, I don't want to get married. So we say the Rosh says, you got to force him. Force him to do what? Why don't we just force him to live with a Pilegesh? Why have to force him to get married? Say today we have a more. Would the Rosh say today, forget marriage? Because if the kviya, if the forcing stemmed from the mitzvah of Kedushin, so you got to get married. But clearly the Rosh Lushitasa, the way the Torah quotes the Rosh, it's not about marriage. Marriage is not the game changer over here. It's the Perivivya that's the game changer. We don't. It's a question. Because the question is, there might not be a Maisa Mitzvah. There might not be a Maisa Mitzvah too. Minchas Chinuch in the first Mitzvah discusses, is there a Maisa Mitzvah at all? Is the Maisa Mafreya was the Maisa Mitzvah, or just the baby being born is the Mitzvah without a Maisa Mitzvah? It's complicated. But I'm just saying, according to the Rosh, it should come out that you should force him not to get married. You should force him to live with a Pilegesh. Now, it could be that's not the way Chazal are not going to force you to do something which is not really the Chatzilah. Meaning Chazal are going to force you to do the proper path. The proper path is to get married. Rather, if you veer off the proper path and do things on your own way, you'll yoyt to the mitzvah. But Chazal are not going to force you to do things like you did. Being that Pilegesh is not the route that the Torah wanted you to go, the Torah is not going to force you to do something which is not the proper route or the proper way to go. Right. But the Rosh's point is that the kfiyah is not because we want you to do another mitzvah called Kedusha. We don't care if you do Kedusha. Maybe Kedusha is not even a mitzvah. We want you to get the Pir Viridya. So my argument is, Lafita, why aren't we forced to take a Pilegesh? The guy says, I don't want to be bogged down with a marriage. I can't handle a wife. I can't handle in-laws. Fine, take a Pilegesh. Right? Why, according to the Rosh, don't we force him to take a Pilegesh? So the simple answer, I think, is because that's not really the way the Torah wants things to come about. If they come about that way, we'll accept it. But the Lechatchila will rather you get married and not take a Pilegesh. Now, just to skip for a second to number 17. Number 17 is a famous Rambam. Right? We pointed out that the Rambam is unclear whether or not the Rambam holds we force someone to get married. We said the Rosh is very clear. The Rosh holds you do force someone to get married because according to the Rosh, you have the mitzvah of Perivivya. Take a look at the Rambam number 17. Says the Rambam, V'lekuchin elu mitzvah saseh shal tayrehim. This lekuchin, this kedushin is a mitzvah deraisa. So stop for a second. So if the Rambam holds kedushin is a mitzvah, then the chayr according to the Rambam should be kaifa as the mitzvah. According to the Rosh, kedushin is not a mitzvah, the mitzvah is Perivivya. And still the Rosh says, we force you to get married to get to the Perivivya. Mashiach, according to the Rambam, it's much simpler. According to the Rambam, the reason why you force someone is not because of the privilege. Forget the privilege. We force you because it's a mitzvah.
So what's the bracha according to?
Oh, Echem. So according to the Rambam, the bracha might be a different type of bracha. We'll have to work. That's what we talked about when we learned Kiddushin.
It's a weird bracha.
Yeah, in Echem. Yeah. The Rambam's going to have to much more. Now, the truth is there's too many Gemaras that are Kemat Mefurish that Kiddushin is a mitzvah. There's Gemaras in Ma'id Katan, there's Gemara in Kiddushin Achmem Aleph. There's a lot of Gemaras that definitely give off the impression that Kiddushin itself is a mitzvah.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to the action. Now, this Rambam is.
You're not going to do the mitzvah, you don't have to do the hechshavos. Like, I don't have to build a sukkah in my house if I'm going away to sukkah.
That's correct. But over here, that's the Rosh's argument. I don't have to get married if I have another way to do a priya v'rivya. Now, this Rambam is famous. Right? Everyone knows this Rambam, because what does the Rambam say? L'kuchen eilu mitzvah say shal teirehem, but u'be'echem b'shloish d'varim eilu ha'isha niknis, v'kesef ha'i b'shtar ha'i v'biyah, v'biyah b'shtar mehatero, v'kesef medivrei seifru. And we've talked many times about this Rambam. Punk last night, I was talking about Ashkocha Brothers. My wife told me, you have to listen to this podcast. To which podcast? Some fellow, I don't know his name, who went down to the Vatican, and he found there's tons of Ksav Rambam in the Vatican. And this guy said, Rabbanim asked him, find the original Ksav Yat to this Rambam. Because everyone breaks the head. What do you mean Medivrei Seifer? What do you mean Kesef is Medivrei Seifer? So we've had many Shurim and Popum about it. So this guy said, he asked the Vatican permission. They're going to give him like, I don't know, 10 documents out of thousands. And the rabbi said, try to get that document about this Rambam. It's like, Shkoyach. He opens up the documents. It's Punk this Rambam. Murdered. He wrote a book. This fellow wrote a book. It was in a journal for Christians. 15 million Christians read it. It's called The Page Out of 100 or something like that. It's amazing. And he claims, it says there clearly, Ukesef Medivri Torah. Not Medivri Torah. He says all the Torah and all the... It says Medivri Torah. Now, I don't know how that reads. Because the way the Rambam starts off, the Rambam says, Yishad Dikta Ukesef Ebishtar Bebiyo. Bebiyo Ebishtar Mehatero. Ukesef what? The Kesef Medivrei Torah? I don't know.
No, maybe he says all three Medivrei Torah.
I don't know. He claims that when you look in the Rambam original manuscript that's in the Vatican, it's clear that the Rambam holds Kesef
Medivrei. Why would the Rambam argue with the Mishnah? The Mishnah
doesn't say it's Midaraisa. The Mishnah just says it's a way to do it. He says you could do it. It doesn't say which one.
So he takes pictures.
He said he has a picture of it. He said he's not allowed to. He said he did it anyway. And he claims if anyone wants, he'll show them the picture. What it says. That was the kasha. Yeah. All the achronim and every market share was set sharing kedushin of days, much as with this Rambam. He said, "No, it's Kesef is Gzeir Shav. So Gzeir Shav, we assume is one of these gimel midas, should be deraisa. I'm a divisayfrim.
No. All in Torah, but is there some way that why if you read it correctly?
That's the way everyone learns the Rambam. The way achronim learn the Rambam, midivisayfrim means when it's not written but explicitly in the Torah. I don't know."
They separately
that's that, right.
So there's a distinction maybe that the Rambam is making between these two in one source, one maybe Shepherd Sav possibly and the other.
The problem is Shtar is also the Shtar is Gzeir Shava and Kesef Gzeir Shava. It's not clear.
That's
Kesef. And Shtar is learned Makish of Alitzi, I think. And then B is learned straight up in the Pasuk. I just thought it was fascinating. We were talking about Ashkocha Brothers. Punk last night, my wife told me to listen to this. I told my wife, I said, it's not your start to listen to these types of podcasts. That's the way we learn the Rambam. Now, the truth is, I got to think that when I heard this guy, again, I didn't see his picture. But there's another Rambam that also talks about this by Tzilas Kalim. There's also a Rambam that uses similar vernacular, Medivis Seifim. And again, we tumble the same tumble. Maybe he really means Midaraisa, but it's not Mephorish the Torah. I mean, that's classical raid.
The Rabbanim developed the Dindoraisa.
Yeah. There's a lot of. I think there's so much raid on this Rambam, but just this fellow claims that he saw the manuscript and the original manuscript. It says
how long ago was this?
Recently, this guy went, just recently.
Yeah, recently. I know somebody who went, but it's at least 3 or 4 years ago.
I don't know. This guy was
just saw.
On tour?
No, he had special permission from the Vatican. He's a very hooked up guy. This fellow. I don't know. I want to read how
interesting. At least 5 years.
That his wife knows what's going on in the Sunday mornings.
Talk about Ashkocha Brothers. Okay, but that was a little bit from last week. This week we got to get moving over here back to our Gemara. Now,
we're skipping 16.
Yeah, it's more than a for Ksubas, but I want to get back to our Gemara for a second. So let's start. Shir Chof Alev Kedushin Aflam. It says the Gemara. Omale Rav Lev Nosem Bar Ami. Rav said to Rav Nosem Bar Ami, Adiyotcha Al Tzavrei Devarecho, when your hands are on the neck of your son, Meshitze Vad Esem Vatarti, from 16 to 22. But Amrile, some people say, Mitim Nisrei Ad Esem Vatarti, from 18 to 24. What does this mean? When your hands are on the neck of your son, says Rashi, number two, while your hands are still strong on your son, before he grows up, And he will not accept no longer your input, your musr, his siyu isha. That's the age to marry him off. So according to Rashi, this is a question of when to marry off your son. What age? The age when your hands are around his neck. That means figuratively, your hands are around his neck. That means you have control over him. You have input in his life. Listen to what you have to say. Okay, we'll break it down a little bit more. I don't mean control in a forcible way. It means that, you know, he'll live, right? Rashi's lashon is, no, you can't marry him off after 13, that's correct. You can urge him and you know, pressure, I guess, is a strong word also. Now, let's keep on going for a second. It's going to get even more exciting than this. Says Rashi, Mishitzer, Shnin, 16 years, Higiyah Zman Lichmas. That's the time you should get married. The Yosim Esmetarti, and more than 22, Al Tachruhu. What does that mean? It means if your son's 23, you don't read him Shaduchim anymore. What's Pshat in the Gemara? You have a mitzvah to marry off your son's mitzvah to get married off. What happens after 22 or 24? That's it, you stop. The Pasha Pshat Lechere means is, these are the best years you have a chance to get things moving. Don't delay. Use these years as your time. Now, Avad, if your son's 25 and not married, still read him Shaduchim and help him get married. But the best chance years that you have to get him married is either, you know, 16 or 18 to 22 to slash 24. That's the first pshat on Rashi. Then Rashi says, Loshanach. Rashi has another pshat. When your hands are around the neck of your son, when your hands are still strong on him, that's the time to be mechanechim, to get marriage. Now's not the time for marriage. Now's the time to be mechanechim, to teach him, to educate him. Why, says Rashi? What's the right time? Mishitza vad esem etartin. Batsir mishitza, less than 16. Ein badas lekabel teichochis. He's not mature enough to accept the musar. You know, he thinks he knows everything. He thinks his parents are weird. He's not ready to accept what his parents have to say at that age. Again, according to the second Shana Rashi, this is not marriage. Now, we're talking about stam as a given musar. This is wrong and you got to improve on this. These are the ages. Says Rashi, v'al tachbid yisurin the teichochis. He says, he's not mature enough to accept the rebuke. Don't overload him with, you know, rebuke and musr and punishment. It's not going to go anywhere. The yoisim esem etart, and more than 22, yeshlochus layivat, we're afraid he may kick back. He may rebel. Get out of here. What are you telling me? I'm a mature person. Don't tell me what to do. So Rashi, v'ze'ikr. Rashi likes this pshat better. So we have two pshatim in Rashi. First pshat in Rashi is, what age should you push to get your son married? The second pshat is, what age should you educate your child? Now, the problem, obviously, with Rashi's second pshat is, it has no shaykhus to our Gemara. Our Gemara was talking about marriage. We take a break. Let's talk about chanuch. Very strange. So that easily you can get out of and say, no, it's the same idea. Marriage, because he's mature enough to understand things. He's mature enough to be able to get married. He should be mature enough to be able to hear that he doesn't, has to make his bed in the morning and he has to clean up. So there is somewhat of a parallel. The problem is, go back into the Gemara for a second. I stopped the Gemara short early. Go back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Kitanoi, let's say this above Machloikis, about what age is Machloikis Tanoyim? It says in the Pasuk, educate the child based on his path. One says that's from 16 to 22. And some say it's from 18 to 24. What? Chinuch, marriage? Well, we're mixing apples and oranges over here. You told me we're having a discussion what age you should marry your son. And you told me that machloikis is telling machloikis tonight about how to do chinuch for your child. I thought marriage and chinuch are two separate sugyas. So if you learn like Rashi's second shot, that we switched over, we took a break from marriage, and now we're talking about chinuch, and the flow of the Gemara is beautiful. But if the Gemara is talking about marriage, so what's chinuch lanar pidarka? Chinuch lepidarka is a shmuz for chinuch. The way you're supposed to mechanich your children is these years and that years. What does that do with marrying off my son? So unless you say the same word. Then marriage and chinuch go together. If this is the right age to marry off your son, and this presumably is the right time where your son should, we should be able to be mechanech. Take a look over in the Sefer Nachlas Moshe. He writes in number 3, he says, V'hine, the fiyah pirusha rishon shel Rashi, the ayu l'inyan la'si isha. According to Rashi's first pshat, that we're talking about marrying him off, imkein, amaya meres ha-gemor, ketanoi, arkasha. What's the flow of the gemor? Ketanoi, chanoich l'napi dakoi. V'alei ha-braisa ayu l'inyan chinuch, v'alei l'inyan la'si isha. We're just mixing two things that have nothing to do with each other. We're talking about what age to marry off your son. And the Gemara says, oh, that machloikis is the same machloikis about what age to be mechanech your son. What does it want to do with the other? She says, Yeshlaim, I know. They keep in the cholatam she'oz yasiu isha. The fisha oz yikabu teichocho. No, he says they're connected. Because why is now the apropos time to marry off your son? Because he's mature enough to get married. Memela shemamino the oz who has man she'bekabu teichocho. It's a good time for him to be able to accept musr. Because if he thinks he's not going to get musr after he gets married, he doesn't know what marriage looks like, right? So he has to be able to be mature enough to accept it. So he says, that totally be plucked the honey tonight. And I'll say, that as much as he says, I will kosher. So he has a kashi. He says, according to the first Pshat Rashi, it sounds like that the father's mitzvah ends at 24. I have to be busy with my kids shidduchim from 18 to 24 or from 16 to 22, and after that I'm done. I see a baruch shem petran. Yeah, sure. It's a mitzvah for the father, marry for the son.
You're saying the best results.
Oh, that's the answer. If his kashi is, he doesn't understand. He says, "Farileil komer rabba dat chov shoni yesh v'kosh baruch mitzape." Mashmi the chov shoni zewas malachwin. He says, "Okay, we learned that 20 is the cutoff. That's why the Rambam said once he hit 20, you're ready mevatel mitzvahs. Here it sounds like he can go to 22 to 24." So he says, no, yeah, I think the is very simple. These are the best years is to try to get it going. Obviously, in a perfect world, he'd be married by 20. But these are the years you work on trying to get your son married. He says, he thinks maybe that's why. Why did Rashi like his second shot better? Again, his second shot is better, in my opinion. Why? Because it flows in the Gemara much better. It works that much better. He wants to say the reason why Rashi's second shot is better because Rashi's first shot makes it sound like that the father should only marry him off between 18 and 22, 16 and 24, but we're supposed to get him married off by 20. You're after the fact already. The answer is I don't think that's such a kasha. I think these are the years you're supposed to try your hardest to work on him. Obviously, if it goes at 20, that's the best. If it doesn't go, you keep on going. And even if at 24 it doesn't go, you should still try. But these are the best operative years to try to get things going.
Yeah.
It's a mitzvah to make. That's right. You have a mitzvah to marry off your son. Yeah. You have a mitzvah to marry off your son. Now we'll see where that comes from. Okay, the Gemara is going to say you can't force anyone to get married. The Gemara says you do things. The Gemara is going to say you do things to make your children desirable. You give your girl the Gemara. It's the Gemara. It's not me. The Gemara says you're going to give your daughter clothing to make people want to marry her. You make them desirable that people should want to marry them. Obviously, you can't force them, but you make them desirable.
Because you're a parent.
Right, that's a
mitzvah. It's a parent.
No, but the Gemara says it's a mitzvah. You're right. And Chrami, I'm not saying, but the Gemara counts it as a mitzvah. That's one of the parental mitzvahs. It's the marriage of your child. Yeah.
When we're eating, with Shidduchim in the Halacha Shir, going back a couple years, when we say it's a mitzvah to marry off your daughter, where do we know it's a mitzvah to marry off your son?
It's opening Kedusha Chavtes, we said, yeah, mitzvah to marry off your son. We're going to get to it. We'll believe that.
Because I remember you saying about
we'll
a daughter.
Fakir, the Gemara goes the other way. How do you know about a daughter? Well, we'll get to it. We'll talk about it. When we get to next Amud, a few months from now, we'll get to it. Now, take a look at this Ben Yoda.
Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. Take a look at the Ben Yoda. I forgot to write the word Yoda, but the Ben Yoda. Look what he writes. Very cute. He's bothered. What's the vernacular? Your hand around your son's neck, right? We all, can think of that picture, maybe. Pick which kid you want to do that to, but okay. Yeah. Right? Your hands around someone's neck, right? It's a funny term. So he writes very cute. He says, "Nearly." He says, "Nokolahinishna ibni ki al roiv haben shovel over bekaimu." So usually at the end, the father and the son eventually are going to be the same height. He says, "Shamru ha'av zeichel ben benoy bikoyach mesaper hashanim v'chein eni kam v'imkain kishah ben hu parshisha as hashanim." And the kid's 16; he's not at full height yet. Shadain lahishlam kaimasa. He didn't grow his last couple of inches. Os kishiyamdu ha'av im haben yagi at tzavor haben keneged yadav shalavu. So at that age, your hands are equal to his neck. You don't have to go like this. Just go straight. And that's why the Gemara chose the lashon of Yodcha Atzavarei Benech. Okay. Now, I'll show you something interesting. That even in Halacha, Halacha treats 18 as a special year. We had a share a few weeks ago, Ben Shemar Asel Chop, and we talked about Mutshad. Why is Ben Shemar Asel Chop a magical number? If anything, the Gemara has other numbers. But take a look at this. Number 5 in Yerodeah. There are more rights in Yerodeah. Yesh machmim shalitin kabbalah lemishu pach ben Shemar Asel Shana. They don't give a ksav kabbalah of shchita to someone who's under 18. Now you can shecht when you're already 13. You can be the biggest expert in shchita by 15. Zakti Rama, we do not give you a haskama unless you're 18. The oz gavra bardasu, the yedei lizar. There's a certain intelligence that comes at 18, a certain level that you need not just to be a shaychit to know how to shecht, but you have to be a gavra. You have to be a person mature enough to know what to expect as a shaychit. And then the Mechaber writes even further, number 6. Yeshayimim she'in a roi lodun el mi ben yud ches umalo. In order to be a dying, you have to be 18 years old. Why have to be a dying 18? Why can't you be dying at 13? The answer is a certain level of maturity, a certain mindset, a certain, swiftness, I think we'd call it, that you don't get at 15, 16, even maybe not even at 17. Something Mechaber, 18, maybe not even at 18. But this is interesting. Even the halacha, we give a certain amount of chashivas to the 18-year-old tkufa, as opposed to just being, again, at 14, he kills someone, he gets a death penalty. No shayla. But at 18 is the first time he can get the ksav kabbalah v'shchita. Right. There is a certain significance to the ben shemar asur. Okay, that was just al pi agadah. Now let's get into a shver shitas v'shayim over here. There's a taisis v'yazakin. The Teshuvah Hazaken writes on this Gemara, Al Tzavarei Devarecha. So first he quotes Rashi. Then he says, Istim Mefarshi, about five lines in. He writes, Istim Mefarshi, Yodcha Mamish, Kloimer Hakohu Derech Teichach. Says the Teshuvah Hazaken. So far we've discussed spousal abuse. Now we're going to talk about child abuse. Says the Teshuvah Hazaken. What does it mean in the Gemara when your hands are around the neck of your son? It means you're hitting him. You're hitting him. You're patching him. He says, that's the rule. The Gemara is saying, what age should you hit your children? Derech Teichach, of course, is between either 16 to 24. Those are the years you should hit your child. Unbelievable. Practice Taisus Riazakin on himself is one problem. Practice Taisus Riazakin is a Gemara which we'll read in second number 8. The Gemara says, if you hit your adult child, you're over a lot. What love? You have love left neither. Now you probably also have a lo Yosef and pen Taisif, which we spoke about in Ksubis. But the Gemara says you also have a lift neither. Why you also have a lift neither? Because the kid might smack you back, and if he smacks you back, you would just have an issue, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. We'll develop this a little better. So for Ekta Taisif Yazakin, how could I say he's supposed to hit your kid between the ages of 16 and 22, 18 and 24? It's against the Gemara might cut him. So answers the Taisif Yazakin, I vidavka b'maka v'hoylich. Means that Gemara is talking about when you're constantly hitting him. Here you're doing it for one time thing. The kid stepped out of line terribly. A one time patch is okay, but the constantly going around hitting your son, that's a lot. Okay, let's delve into this a little bit because this needs a lot of hesber. Let's see the Gemara Moed Cut number 8. Dr. Gemara Moed Cut. The Gemara tells us a story. The Amsa de Rebbe, the maid servant of Rebbe, Chazisi Lahugava, she saw a certain man, Davi Mochi Lebnoi Godel, that he hit his Bnoi Godel. Now, what does B'nai Gadol normally translate to be? His adult 13. Son. So we would assume he means he was 13-year-old, above 13. Of course, we'll see it's not so partial, but that's the simple reading of the Gemara. Amra, she said, Lahavai hu gavra b'shamta. This is the maidservant of the Rebbe. She said, this guy belongs in Chayrim. Why does he belong in Chayrim? The Ka'av HaMishum, if Na'ibel, is he the Mishul? He's over alive. He's setting the son up for failure. The time you learned in the Braisa, if Na'ibel, is he the Mishul, b'maka l'b'nai Gadol ha'kosim dav. That pasuk is referring to someone who hits his adult child. Why is that Lifnei Ivezak Rashi number 9 right on the top? The Kivan, the Gadol, who, since the son is a adult, Shema Mavit Bad, he's going to kick back. He's going to punch back. V'havi le'ihu machshila, and therefore the father caused the son to sin. So what do we see from this Gemara? This is the Teshuvah Yazakin's Kasha. He's even this Gemara, you're not allowed to hit adult children. So if you're not allowed to hit adult children, how could the Teshuvah Yazakin learn our Gemara is the age when you are allowed to hit your son? Because either 16 or 18 or 22 or 24, those are all B'nai HaGadol. So Teshuvah Yazakin gives a terrorist. He says, no, that's excessively unacceptable hitting. But if it's Derech Teichacha, that is mut. Now there's a Gevaldike Chakira that we have to talk about over here from Achronim. What's a classical example of this Lifneiver? You give a cup of Yayin to another, right? The husband's doing Dafyami, you give a cup of wine to another. That's Lifneiver. What happens if you give a cup of Yayin to the Nazar and the Nazar says, no, thank you. I'm a Nazar, I don't drink wine. Am I still Oivel Lifneiver? Is Lifnei attempting to get someone to do an Aveiro? Or is it actually causing someone to do an Aveiro?
I would think the attempt.
Okay.
It's hard.
Yeah. So like everything else in life, it's going to be a Machloikis HaPoiskim, but... So that might be totally another Chakira. How do you understand Lifnei Iver? What is the Issa Lifnei Iver? Is Lifnei Iver a general issue, don't cause people to do things wrong? Or is it in each Aveiro, I have a Lifnei Iver? And that gets a little tricky, because what happens if I don't have that Issa? Let's say a coin, a grusha with a coin. I have no problem marrying a grusha. He has a problem marrying a grusha.
But Rabbi, is it also a theater if I don't help somebody do mitzvah they're supposed to
do? No, that's not Lifnei Iver means... I take that back. One of the examples of Lifnei Iver is giving bad advice.
Right, well, giving no advice to a child to marry. Just do whatever you want.
I'm saying the example of Mendy Rishoyim, Lifnei Iver means if I tell a guy, listen, there's a great piece of property that you should buy, and I know it's a terrible piece of property because I want him to buy it, and I'm going to buy it, I'm going to play some sticks. That's also Lifnei Iver. But we'll come to that in a second. So if you look over in the Pre-Yitzchak is Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger, Mitzvah Petterberger, one of the prized Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter.
We usually call him a
Halachashir, not so much a Lamdashir. Mitzvah Petterberger was one of the big Talmidim. So he writes like this, Re'isi Shilton Zu She'ilas Rabbi Seinu Achreinim, who besefe Yad Malachi Ois Lamin. Hevi Sofik Zeh B'Shem Chachmei HaYeshiva. They call this was the Chachmei HaYeshiva's Dikah Shaila. I guess in the world we call that today like Yeshiva Shechakira. Let's say the nozzle doesn't actually drink the cup of wine. Yeah. Im ka'aver ha'moishit mishum lifnei evil as he dimnach. Now, Belina, there's another Gemara in Kedushin that we have to see that's going to be relevant to the Shaila again. But let's talk about it. He says, "Ayn shem shehivi rayas megemar Kedushin anal." The dachah kamashit dechasel in ifan. He says, "Umasik sham demitzar hatzvar near demikom akam over hamoishit av shaloi ba ayidei al yodai lidei mirshum." Says the Sefer Yad Malachi that he thinks you're going to be over lifnei evil even though the person never did the aver. Why? Kivan da anesina kopet kra. The Torah gets you for attempted. Attempted. That's when we come back to that. That's the Gemara a few blocks from where we are. We'll come back to that. That's an important Gemara. So says the Rabbi Zil Petzelberger, the Sefer Kiras Sefer Yad Malachi, he thinks it's about attempted. Right? We all know in the court system there's murder and then there's attempted murder. You go to jail for attempted murder also, right? Even though nothing ever happened. But here he thinks that's the whole list. So the whole list is attempted.
So we see that also on many murders.
Right.
It's just made him
right.
Do it, so it's also
right. So the question is, what was the nature of the issue of lifnei evir? Was it don't make people sin, or don't try to make people sin? What was the Torah getting you for? We'll come back to it. So he says, he's up there. I have a right from our Gemara, this Gemara that we just learned together. What's the right from this Gemara? What happened over here? The maidservant, the Rebbe, watched the father. The father hit the son. Boom! He goes to Cherem. Why don't we wait and see whether or not the son punches him? Maybe the son's a very nice boy, and he says, "Dad, that wasn't really nice. That hurt my feelings. Let's go talk about it." Right? No. Elamai, what do you see from this Gemara? It's attempt. Because that's all we have in the story is an attempt. We don't have a fight. We don't have an ending of the story. He should have waited and said, let's watch. If the son decks the father, boom. Then the father's over lifnei evir. Why is the father over lifnei evir right away? Elamai says, Yad Malachi, you see from this Gemara, that the way lifnei evir works, it's attempting. And even if the son never punches the father back.
Mari mean the shita of the maid? I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Man, we're taking it seriously over here. We're assuming she's got it right.
But there's a Gemara that says, tough, whatever he wanted his son, he tore his son.
Yes,
thing
yes,
he
yes,
wanted
yes.
To hit him.
That's the Gemara we'll have to get to. But when we get to that in Kedushin,
so according to this,
yes, yes, that's the other Gemara.
Michael, right?
Yeah, we'll have to get to that. That's correct. That's the other Gemara that we need to see. Very good.
The mother, how many of the other ones?
So that was the Yad Malachi's argument. His argument was, look at the Chumash. The Chumash says, loy sitim, don't do it. Don't. It's the act of trying. It's attempt. So we'll see.
A mishal for mother also, because kids generally would look at mother. I mean, she gives the mother.
I guess I in Shulchan Aruch is always talking about the father, but I don't know of any reason to think, unless there's a built-in assumption that son won't hit the mother. I don't know. But we'll see. Everyone's so convinced this way. Mitzvah Petzelberger is totally convinced the other way. The doctor, Mitzvah Petzelberger, he quotes this. This is all from the Sefer Yad Malachi. So he writes, Argemara is a starker raya. Why? So he says over here, he writes, what I caused. I caused you to sin. You didn't sin. So he says, Hain emes. He says, very geschmack. He says, so why is lifnei evir ever us? I give you a cup of wine. You say no to the cup of wine. I don't do anything wrong. He says, no, it's a suffix of their eyes. Every time I give you the cup of wine, maybe you'll drink it. And on the side that you drink it, I am over lifnei evir. So I have no right to offer you a cup of wine because that's a suffix of their eyes. Because on the side you take the wine, I'm over an issa. So that's why I can't give you the wine. Yeah, he's assuming right. He's assuming over here that a suffix of the rice, the chumra is going to be also the rice.
I don't know that he's an nazir.
That's a separate child. That's a different question. But I'd be able to neither if I don't mean I have no idea that you're a nazir. I thought you were a regular guy. Yeah. So it's a good question.
Give someone bad advice. He's having said about the real estate. He doesn't buy the real estate.
Oh, very good.
Take the same thing.
Enochem, yes. If I give a guy bad advice, he tells me, wow, this guy has such bad advice.
That's not the example. What was it? You give bad advice. It never says, and he didn't.
Oh, we'll talk about it. So good. Let's keep on going. So it says in Bitzel Petzelberger, he says, no, what are you talking about? He says, Ulam, and he's died to die to call Sophie Gisad, the guy's Lukhum, the Kashin, and Shemi Nichshal, and Nazir. Avel Hecha, the Mikomoko, and Nichshal, and Nazir. But if, let's say, I rolled the dice, and I got lucky. I had no right to give the Nazir a cup of wine. That was wrong on my part. Because, well, I know he drinks it, boom, I'm leaving this in the rice. But now that he doesn't, says Rabbi Zil Petzelberger, I did nothing wrong. Now, one second. That's very maybe nice and lomdus, What do you do with our Gemara? How do you learn our Gemara? Our Gemara said that he was put into chaim immediately. Why don't you wait and see?
Stung him as a child. Go ahead and do it. So that's why I said I'm said that case.
Doesn't say. It's very vague in the Gemara.
You don't put some chaim
in the Gemara, right? Zok Tevi Mitzel. You know why he got put in chaim? He got put in chaim because you have no right to put yourself in a situation that you might be over in this. He was put in chaim because he set himself up to be over lifnei even. Now he got lucky, but you don't have the right to do things that maybe you'll get lucky with. So he writes. He says, the Yad Malach, he said, the Mashmam, he said, the Oivim Yad Bifneiv, you're over right away. The MS ain't Raya Klau. We're not denying the fact. Of course, you're not allowed to hit your adult son. Why? Shema Yivat Ba'aviv. So he might punch back. But if he doesn't punch back, you are not over. So why should she put him in chayim? She put him in chayim because you had no right to do that. What you did to that son was setting yourself up for a suffix of the rice. That's why he got chayim. Not because right now he was over lifneiv. Maybe he won't be over lifneiv. But he was over putting himself in a situation that he might be over lifneiv.
And
that's the issue.
And according to this, what would be if the son would be a cop?
We'll get to that. We'll talk about that in a second. So let's stop here for a second. So we have a machloikis achroinim between a Bitzel Petterberger and the Yad Malachi about whether or not you're evil if naive and whether or not our Gemara is right. Turn to the next page for a second where it says 9b. Michael, who's the oil Yisachar?
Good question. Not
David got it right. Yisachar friend. Yep.
Really? Wow.
We should start raffling off prizes here.
By the way, Jay should have that one.
Come on.
So Rabbi Yisachar friend, I found this Kuntress. He must have wrote some form of a safer Kuntress. Oyel Yisachar. I have it on my computer. So he writes like this. Number 9b, he writes a nice tickle Torah. He wants to say that this machloikis that we're dealing with between the Yad Malach, on the next page, left corner 9b, I couldn't fit it on the first page. So Rabbi Yisachar friend wants to tell it like this. We have a machloikis right now between Bitzel Petzelberger and the Yad Malachi about whether or not Lifnei Iver is about attempted, or if Ne'iva is about final causing something to happen. So he wants to tie in that this Chakira is telling another Machloikis Rishonim. What's that Machloikis Rishonim? He says, if you look in the Rishonim, how do they describe the Issa Deraisa of Lifnei? What's their example? So some Rishonim talk about Averis, the Surim, and some Rishonim talk about advice. Some Rishonim, many Rishonim all use the classical example of Ne'iva is not the case of giving Yain to another. It's not the case of tricking something to an Aver. It's giving bad advice. So he wants to say, what's the two tzadim in the Rishonim? Why does some Rishonim focus on the Surim and some Rishonim focus on bad advice? So he wants to say like this. Number 9b, he says, V'imkin Epshaloima, Tishaylazu, Ibe'inan Shechaveir Mamish Yaber Es Isser, B'chdeil Chayves Amachsha, B'lav Lifneiver, if whether or not you actually have to have the person do the Aveira to be Oiva Lifneiver, totally Mamish possessed. Tell him this Machloikish Rishonim. That what? Demi Iker Hakbodis HaTayre Imaisa HaRamoyis. He says, what does the Torah not like about Lifneiver? So if it's about giving bad advice, there's no aveira in someone taking your bad advice. No one's even aveira. So why is it also? The also the Torah says, don't be a rama. Don't be a tricker guy. Don't be that dirtbag who gives bad advice to set people up for failure. That's one side of lifnei. Don't do it aveiras. It's not because of you, Yanam is doing an aveira. It's because you're just being a jerk. Don't be a jerk, as I said in the Torah, right? That might also be. That might also be true. But Zaktim, that's one side of learning it. The other side is don't cause people to do averus. There's two different stadim. There's two different ways to look at this issue. Is lifneiver don't be a rami, or is lifneiver don't cause people to do averus?
Meaning, if giving someone bad advice on a real estate deal is an issue, give someone trying to trick someone doing an avera, it's no better than that.
It's different. I'm not sure better or worse. I don't know what
giving someone bad advice.
Right. It's an example of bad advice. Now, that's going to be the nafkumi. Exactly. So let's see. So he explains, Gavald. He says, Imkain, Afish Tadlus Lahshila Hare Bakhla Ramoy. He says, if the Aveira is don't be a jerk, so then attempting to be a jerk is also a jerk. Right? It's not only when the guy takes it. When I try to give you bad advice, that makes me a Ramai. Even if you take my advice, don't take my advice. It's irrelevant. Now, so he says like this, Imkain, Afish Tadlus Lahshila Hare Bakhla Ramoy. The Mali Shalayova, why do I care he didn't listen to my advice? I attempted to ruin his life. I tried. He wants to tell you, if you go like that, sad, that's about being a rami, then you don't need to have end results. You just need to attempt it to give this guy bad advice. But if you go like those Rishayim that always talk about Isurim, 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 one could say, he's assuming, and you can debate this easily. I don't think it's muchach what he's saying at all. Exactly. You can argue there's two ways of being a jerk. You could be a jerk by giving bad advice. And you could be a jerk by trying to cause people to do Isurim. You could say it that way. That's the way I would have learned. But he wants to say, no, there's two camps. There's being a jerk by giving bad advice, and there's stamazay wanting to cause people to do averus. So it's not about wanting to cause people to do averus; it's causing people to do averus. So he says, if it's on that side that it's about causing people to do averus, then you actually have to do the averus. But if it's about being a jerk, you can be a jerk just for attempted reasons.
So the Torah singles out the averus of mesis, right? So is that the example? Is that the exception, or is that the rule?
That's a different issue, Mason.
I mean, you causing someone to do a voter's arm.
Right, right. That was directly connected.
And there you definitely chive just for the intent.
Right. So it's a different issue. Yeah, it's hard to know. We always think of the thing in so many different ways. We think of it as nazir. We think of it as bad advice. We think about it as hurting. We think about it as all different things. So he's learning that that's good for the machoikis reshain. Machoikis reshain, the mevelat, what your typical case of the Lefnevi Iver is depending on how you learn Lefnevi.
So you may give them bad advice on a real estate deal, let's say, and turn that guy did it, and it's great advice.
That's a good question. So again, I would assume if your intention was to be Maramba him, so you'd still be able to leave him.
Right.
You learn like this Shtickle Teifer of a friend that attempting is the problem, that if I attempted to be Machshu and it turns out that I didn't, I still should be able
to. Oh, so that's a riot to that, because it could have come out good. It could have come out good, but just because you were a jerk, you're a
idiot. Right. That's what I would say. If you learn like Rabbi Franz Stickelter, it's all about attempts. So if I, in the back of my mind, said I'm going to ruin this guy's life, and somehow, miraculously, this is the best thing for him, I'd still be able to lift Neiva, because I attempted to ruin his life. Again, if you assume that Lifnei Iver is about attempting and not about end result. Okay. That just, I thought, was a nice Stickelter. Let's go back to page one for a second. We have a difficult Gemara on our hands over here. We have a Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara Moed Katan says, if you hit your adult son, you're over Lifnei Iver. So good. We have a Machlokes Achronim. When are you over Lifnei Iver? If you really over Lifnei Iver. But there's a very important Ritva over here, number 10. The Ritva writes, the Nirin Dvarim, the Loi Gadol Gadol Mamish. Says the Ritva, this Gadol in Moed Katan doesn't mean a 13-year-old boy. El hakol lefi tivay. Gadol means mature, big. Not physically big, but mature. His teva. She yesh locho, she yitras kenegde b'dib rabbi maiso. The Gemara is afraid if you're going to hit an adult, mature child, he might be 10, 11, but he understands that he was just hit, and he might do something back to the father. Either b'dib or rabbi maiso. Talk to Ritva, ki afilu lo yeh bar mitzvah. Even if the kid's under bar mitzvah, in ro'i lohavli de maka oy mekala lo. It's not right to cause him to hit his father. Ela yishtad lenu b'dvarim, you should try to talk to him with words. Says the Ritva, a moy v'dik chiddush over. What's the Ritva's chiddush? Very good.
That's what I said.
We'll get to it. So let's see. So what did Ritva just tell us? Ritva just reread the Gemara in Moed Katan for us. That when the Gemara said b'nai ha-gadol, doesn't mean a bar mitzvah boy. It means a mature boy. Says the Ritva, why? Because he's mature and he understands when he's past, meaning a 5-year-old, 4-year-old kid, when you hit them, they don't hit back. 11-year-old will hit back. Not because they're necessarily bad, but that's just, they're used to that. That's what they do in class. If someone hits, they hit back. So they don't realize, oh, but this is my father, so they'll hit back. Sok de ritva, that we can't have. Why? Even though he's not bar mitzvah, it's not right. What's the lashon? Ein ro'i. It's not befitting that he should hit back. But instead, says the ritva, let the father talk to him with words. Umishum the urcha, the milsa, the begodl, shchichi, nokar hai godl. Says the ritva, so why is the gemara say the word godl? She says, because usually godl usually means mature. Usually 13-year-olds are mature, but if you have a 10, 11-year-old boy, or girl for that matter, who's mature, and you're afraid they might punch you if you punch them, and a chanami, not let it hit. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that soon. I'm not trying to turn this into a halacha share. I'm trying to keep this into a lamdusha share, but I have some sources just to...
And by the way, like what David brought up earlier, what happens if the mother would hit the child? Is there any
sort of... I don't see the difference. I don't think the difference. Again, al hakoa goes both parents.
Well, because we always say al kira, you're afraid of the father.
Right. Unless you know that children don't hit their mother's back. I don't know. Yeah. You have to do...
You also see this gadol in Katan on Samach L'Shulchan Aviv, you know, like on a Metziah. If a gadol finds it, it belongs to the father. If it's a gadol at Samach L'Shulchan Aviv, it's a Katan.
Right.
Even if
it's right. So sometimes the word gadol doesn't always have to mean bar mitzvah. The problem in our sugya, which the Ritva seem to have tried to answer, is I don't understand. What lifnei iver? What happened over here? The father hit his 10-year-old son. Says the Gemara, oh, he's over Lefneiv. Lefneiv what? Because maybe the 10-year-old hit my father, hit the father back. And let's say the 10-year-old decks the father. The 10-year-old's over in this room. He's 10 years old. What's happening in the Gemara? The Gemara has no.
Does the father get the Isser?
What Isser? There's no Lefneiv.
No, but I'm saying whatever, you know, you always say before Bar Mitzvah.
Oh, get that, David. That's one of the truths.
What? Yeah, what? No, we always say before Bar Mitzvah, you know, that the mitzvahs and the averus sometimes, didn't we want
yeah, to go to the father? Okay, but Lifnei
so
Iver.
How do you get an Isser for hitting yourself?
No, but Lifnei Iver means that I set up my son to do an averus. My son doesn't have any averus. He's 10.
It's our own shim. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
Is that true? I mean, that's what we have to figure out. So if you look carefully at the Ritzvah.
Lifnei Iver even with a guy.
Sounds good.
Maybe. Depends how, maybe depends how long Lifnei Iver. But look at the Lush and the Ritzvah. Yeah,
it may not happen
in Mexico. Yeah, but it's about being a Jew. Again, but again, if I would go over to, I don't know, if I would go over to someone who has, let's say for example, I would go over to Yisrael and be Meshadach him with a Grusha, there's nothing wrong with that. But if I do the exact same activity to a Kohen, I might be able to leave.
So maybe it's the bad advice,
right? Yeah.
Meaning, is that unseemly for the son to be the father?
So if you look carefully at Lush and the Ritva, you have to be my eye carefully. The Ritva seems to be addressing this. Look carefully, he writes. He says, "Elakol v'ti v'sheish lochos he yitras kenegdoi b'dibor b'maisim he afilu shloye bar mitzvah ain roi la'avil lidei makoy mekal lovin." It's not something we want to ingrain in our children to hit back their parents. Hagam that they hit their parents, they won't be over any yisurim. But this is not something you want to ingrain in your children. Now take a look at the next page, Rebbe Eliashiv. So Rebbe Eliashiv is bothered with this kasha. He says, "L'chayr tzach bir de'belav ochi be'katan hari lo yishay klal b'zelif neiver shari akatan ain abach yuva." Effectively, I don't get the Gemara. How would the father be able to lift Neiva? Lift Neiva means that I caused my son to do a sin. If my son would punch me across the face, he's not over an Isser. He says, even though we're not allowed to give with our own hands an Isser drabon into a cotton, it's not like the father's giving the son to do the Isser. The father's hitting the son, which will trickle effect that the son will hit the father back. But it's not called Svi B'Yadayim. Maybe we'll get to that right now. So says Rabbi Yashiv, "V'hinei ein l'taritz." Don't try to answer me. The ka'azol haritva b'shitas harishayim that this ritva is going like those rishayim to hold. Sha'akotin atzmei muzer midrabanim mitzad chinuch. Right? Maybe the son has his own egin achiv chinuch. Right? Maybe the son has his own achiv chinuch. Chinuch dictates not just that the father is mechanach the child, but the child is mechanach himself. And the chinuch dictates that you don't hit parents because if you do this when you're 13, you get a big punishment. Says Rabbi Yashiv, that can't be either. Why does it inu? So after she does elu loy matzino elo shakote mitzuva midrabon al ki mitzas esay, avol inin she akote muzah al suy loy sasay midrabon loy matzino ha. Says Rabbi Yashiv, we don't find any sheet that's mentioned in the holds that there's a concept of chinuch of the son himself not to do a lav. We find that maybe the child is mechunach to do an asay, a positive mitzvah, but we don't find anywhere that kotin is muzah not to do a lav. Therefore, says Rabbi Yashiv, this is a lav. It's not going to work. What? The answer is there is none.
We had that in Yashir.
Yeah, the answer is not really a thing. Not really a thing. But Shlomo Zalman pointed out that's not really a thing. We talked about that. That's only before Yom Kippur. Only before Yom Kippur. Only before Yom Kippur. Before Yom Kippur there is. Before Yom Kippur there is. Yeah. Right. That's a good kash. That's one of the bomb kashes. Every year before Sukkot, I always want to give a share in that. That's one of the big kashes that everyone has. What's that Muslim of chinuch over there? It's a good kash. First of all, it's not even real chinuch. Real chinuch is a mechanach you what to do when you become an adult. When you become an adult, you fast the whole Yom Kippur, not for 2 hours. It's a gavaldik kakashin. It's on the to-do list of things we need to learn here one day. Yeah, it's a great question. But Zakht Rebbe Eliashiv, you can't even try to tell me that the chinuch is, he's mukhunach, what? Not to hit his parents? He doesn't have that chinuch. That's a lav. He doesn't have a chinuch on lav. So I found the Yakut Yosef. I think people don't learn Yakut Yosef enough, even Ashkenazim. He has a lot of geshmak and chedushim there. He doesn't make a big deal out of that, but he has a lot of very subtle chedushim there. And he writes the following. He says, I've after caught the pachim about mitzvah in a mitzvah. Then came the chayyur lekem b'zeh mishum of neiver. Shegam im yitres connected over v'ena ena b'achiyuva. Mikom akon. Even she'ain b'dover te'elas chinuchah la'hakoysi. It's not a good message to hit your child. V'aben mitzras connected and the son's going to get hit back. V'yesh chashash shegam la'acher abar mitzvah haben yatres connected over. As David's pshat, and maybe it's going to happen after bar mitzvah. So this is tamuzei alom the shashayla. I do the lifnei even now, and you do the avera 3 years from now. I'm still held accountable. I hit my kid when he was 12. He's so mad at me. And when he's 14, he punches me across the face. He goes, I'm not Lefneiver. Because 2 years ago, I got him so mad. Maybe that does work that way. Maybe it does. That's his chiddush. So when the Gemara keeps on talking about, don't do that to your son, it's not because right now he's going to hit you. It's because he's going to hit you later. And later, he'll talk to you over Lefneiver because that later he's already an adult. There's a Ramon Hilchos Shabbos. which I think makes a lot of sense after we saw this Ritval. We're bothered with the Ritval. Ritval says that don't hit your son when he's 12 because he may hit you back. The kasha was, well, so what? He's under bar mitzvah. So the Ritval's lashon was, it's not right that a child should hit his son when he's young. A child should hit his father when he's young. There's an amazing Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos. This Ramah is the end of the Ramah in Hilchos Chelek Gimel of the Mishnah Berurah, right before we switch over to Chelek Dalet to learn about Erev. So he writes, the Kotun Shehikyas of it. A child who hits his father. So any other aver that a child does when he's younger. He doesn't need to do tshuva when he gets older. He should do something. Something. Now, why does the Ramah single out Kotin Sheikh as oven? It's a very funny thing. Kotin Sheikh as oven. According to this Ritva, it's very move on. Why? Because according to Ritva, there is something wrong with children hitting their parents. And that's why you shouldn't do it to cause your son to do it. If there'd be nothing wrong, then why would the father be over any lof neiver? Teretz says there is something wrong. It's not good. It's bad. Now, whether he'll get an Einish and Shemayim is a different conversation. Therefore, Zokti Ramah, this kid needs to clear his slate. This is not right.
I think the Ramah's against the Ritva.
Why?
He's saying it's an Avera, but they're not Baronsh.
That's exactly the point. That's what the Ritva says also.
No, Ritva says it's not an Avera.
It's not an Avera,
but you don't get a punishment.
The Ritva's addressing you're not going to be over typical Lifneiva, because typical Lifneiva means that I did an Avera. Right? He's saying over here that you need.
He said it's not right that the son didn't say it's an Avera. Because
the question is, what does that mean? Afmi she inzarach tshuva kishiyagel,
become machatay b'shikabel. The onus kicks in, but the issue is.
The story it sounds like from the Ramah that this is a bad activity. Now you don't get held accountable for bad activities, but this bad activity somehow needs to be cleared up. Yeah, I don't know what that means. It means mashach. If it's bad, let's start again. Children can't be held accountable for what they do. So why are they held accountable for this? The answer is this is different. Why is this different? So either you'll say this ingrains in them a bad.
Why they say it's okay for parents to hit their child?
We'll get to that soon. 100%. We'll get to it. We'll talk about it a little bit more. Not too much. Again, there's much more before Shigamaras that we could discuss, but.
Why isn't it keep it up?
Why isn't what keep it up?
The whole thing that you can't hit your father because keep it up, and now it's an assay.
You can't hit your father. You talk again. It's bigger than an assay. You get misa for it.
Well.
It's not only a love.
One second.
You have to draw.
Yeah. If they're black and blue, you're either a skeeler. A regular hit's like it.
Without that vice of.
Meaning, every time you hit another person, there's loyosif, pentaisif, and maybe three asurim. But a father is even more severe.
Could be more severe.
Right? And that's why there's left naiv. Now let's take a look at the sheet of the Talmud, Rabbi Chilmi Paris.
You know they talk back, you know they jump, they yell, and all that.
Yeah, he's not quote liable for it. You don't want to raise a child
that
actually had it. So that to me is almost just a way of developing his phenotype.
That's what the boss seems to be telling us. He seems to be saying that this is a bad idea for you to hit your son. The problem is, you know,
nobody understands why they have to go ahead and ask tshuva or do whatever they have to do. Right. That's ingrained in the way you want to bring up your child.
Right, my only question with the Ritva is that the Ritva still has to work within the context of the Gemara. And the Gemara calls it lifneiver. In order for it to be lifneiver, it has to be that the son is over an isser. We haven't yet figured out what Issa the son is really over because he is under bar mitzvah. That's still a point of difficulty. Now take a look at number 14, the Talmud of the Rabbi Chilmi Paris. We spoke about Rabbi Chilmi Paris, one of the great Vali Atayisers from Paris. That gives it away, right? So Zaktim, number 14, he said like this. The Komochi Libnai Gadol, the Gemara says in Moed Katan that he hit his adult son. Zaktim, the Talmud of Rabbi Chilmi Paris, Gadol Hayyoysim and Hashir Amafosh Bekama the Kedushin. He has a different teretz. He has the same kasha. He learned the Gemara Kipshutei. Abiyotcha al tzavarech means punch your son. Patch your son. Punch is a strong word. Patch is a better word, right? Frekte, the Gemara Moed Katan. So the Tezri Yezakin said one was excessive and one is not excessive. He says, no. That Gemara Moed Katan means he was above the age limit. That Gemara Moed Katan means he was either above 22 or above 24. But ain't a chanami. Right? Jake's not going to want to hear this, but till 22 and 24, ain't a chanami. It's okay. It's only after 22 or 24 that's when you're no longer allowed to hate your son. Says the sheet of Talmud of Yechimu Fariz, the Garcin and Hossam Adiot Chatzavere de Berecha Mishitzav Adesim Betartim. So the two Gemaras work out very nicely. The Gemara Moed Katan says that when you hit your B'nai HaGadol, you get Yovilif Neiver, that's when he's beyond the age where you're supposed to be hitting. What's that age? 16 to 22, 16 to 22, 18 to 24. That's how he learns the Gemara. Now take a look in Shulchan Aruch.
Wasn't a Lif Neiver then?
Ah, Teretz must be because you're. No.
You're allowed to.
No. If I can't. The Lifnei Iver is only the, above that age. If you hit your kid at 26.
Right, so but if you have an 18 and hits you back, that's not...
Because you're allowed to do it.
You're within your right.
Now take a look in Shulchan Aruch. Some Reish Mem Sivchot. We'll get to it. So you say for this, well, for some reason for this, at some point we have to say you can no longer hit him. Take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch. Hamakin the Bnoi Godl Menad Noisik. Person hits his adult son, he gets Chayrim. Shavi Oyver Aleph Ne'iv L'Shit Emush. So all the Mechaba just did was quote the Gemara Moit Kat. No Pshatim, no Terutzim, nothing fancy. Hago, V'loi Mikri Godl Odov Ezeh Rak Acher Chav Beishana Oy Chav Tal Shana. So after Ramon, like we just said, he fits it with the Gemara Moit Kat with our Gemara and Kedushin. That the all is to hit Bnoi Godl is only after he hits the cutoff for the age when you're allowed to hit him, which is either 22 or 24. How do we paskin? 22 or 24, big difference. You hit your 23-year-old, what happens? So take a look at the Piskei Tshuva. So that's the Gemara over there. The Gemara over there is focusing on why certain people get chayim for certain averus. Yeah. Now take a look at the Piskei Tshuva. Right? The Piskei Tshuva. Kasev Marshal. Quote from the Marshal. Perakam of the Kedushin Simen Samachesh. She'im l'ndoisi ad she'avach of talid. Avon mikomokim osa mechav beis. Makes a pshara. Since the Gemara has two shitas, 22 or 24, so it says this. Isurim you're over at 22. You hit your son at 22, you're even Isur. We don't put your chayim till 24, because maybe we pass like the other sheet that's until 24. So you don't get, meaning you hit your son at 25, then you're done, according to all sheets. But listen to the last line, everyone. Avul imhun, v'chol zebulei nasa. This is if your son's not married. Avul imhun nasa, nikra godo be'eni habriyas, ukufiloshim in the other. So you definitely can't hit it married children. That's the cutoff.
Even if they're 20.
Doesn't matter, right? Married children are awful. Yeah, exactly. Even if you're supporting them. They have your credit card, but you can't hit them. The Chiddush. Zog de Marshal, married children are a barrier before the atzma. They really can't hit them anymore. You can't hit them anymore.
But according to this Pischei Tshuva, until a kid's 22, he gets married.
According to the Pischei Tshuva, again, it's within the chinuch purposes. You're not just hitting him. You're not hitting him because you had a bad day because the market tanked and you smacked the kid, right? That's child abuse.
No,
right?
He did something wrong.
So take a look. One second.
Good luck, my kid's 16.
So let's take a look over here. Very cute.
The fact that you attempted, because in other words, if I hit a kid at 22, right, and I'm going to need to answer 24, and then that 2 year period, you never respond. You didn't react to it. But at the end of the day, I hit him.
Right.
But I think we're
passing like the Gemara. That's correct. We're passing a lot. You get the game right away. Now take a look at a Klausenberger. I became a big chassid of the Klausenberger's tire of the last. I'm learning Zichzich in the morning. My Talmidim, he has a lot of very cute Vaitlach. Some Lomdish, some cute. But this is what I thought was connected to Pesach. So
Rosh Weiser.
So listen to this Gemara from the Klausenberger. Very cute. He's bothered with Akasha. This also shows you how a Godel takes all of Torah whenever he comes across. A, he thinks of all of Torah when he comes across. In fact, the Klausenberger have Akasha and the Haggadah. Almost Pesach time. We're talking about Haggadah. State and Haggadah. Hake Eshino. Punch out his teeth. In fact, the Klausenberger, it's against the Gemara Moed Katan. Gemara Moed Katan says, you're not allowed to hit B'nai Haggadah. How many of us think of that when we read the Haggadah? Okay. Says the Klausenberger, Gewaldig. Ulai kivim ba'al Haggadah ma'ashe kazam. Ba'af ata hekeshinov. Sheb emes ha'm chazal mo'i kon dav yidayin amal ma'ad ha'mochi b'nei Haggadah. Disham to do'ivim shum lefnei Iver. Correct him. How can you knock out his teeth? What happened to lefnei Iver? You're not even allowed to hit him. Knocking out his teeth. I think he'd be pretty upset if you knock out his teeth. Va'gam sheish mokum l'chalak l'harach. Ach efsher. Says the Klausenberger. Gam kein shel kedushas halel shemurim betuchum anu. Shegam harosha ha'koyfu le'yaz ponet neged ovav ha'mechich.
Wow.
He says that's part of lel shemurim. Lel Shemurim was such a protected night, you don't have to worry that he's going to get up and punch you. And then Mela, you're not going to be able to lift knee. That's it at the Klausenberg. Okay. But take a look at this Reb Kivega. I know it's already over his mom, but you want to see this Reb Kivega. It's an unbelievable Reb Kivega for parents and mechanchim. It's hard to see.
I'll read this, Rabbi.
Says Reb Kivega, unbelievable. He says, Al Yira Odom Letinak V'Oznay. Do not fear or appear to your child in his ear. What does that mean? It means don't leave your kids tittering what you're going to do to him. Many times parents say, do you know what? When I get home from work, you're going to this. In 2 days from now, you're going to feel what happened. Says Reb Kivega, that is the wrong thing to do. Kivega, he writes, Elo malku miyad, either give him a patch right away, or yishtok, or do nothing. The law yoy malku and no punishment. Listen to this. The yeshlochus de machmas eze eimo yavad atinik la'atzim eladas. The fear of what the father's going to do, the kid's going to commit suicide.
Wow.
So right to Kivega. He quotes the Masechta Smachos. I looked up the Masechta Smachos. It says it along those lines. That if you're going to instill, the fear is the worst thing for the kid. The not unknown, what's my father going to do to me? What's my punishment going to be? That is where either punish him or don't punish him. Leaving the kid in lingo and is the worst. It says if Kivega, kids commit suicide over it. And then keep on reading. He says, "V'zeh loshen marikash, hamarki b'nei hakotin yoyisim idayin." If you hit your kid too much, menadin oyisim. We also put you in chayim. Excessive abuse is also no good. So we'll know the next week. We'll see two sources, just for, I don't know, fun is not the right word, but just to see a contemporary outlook on domestic, on child abuse. Now, again, for the record, we obviously we don't condone it. We're not. Rev Palm writes and many great men, again, of that generation, of our generation, we'll see that many gedolim, including Rev Palm and other great mechanchim, felt that that's not the way to reach your children is through violence. It's definitely not the way.
And then the following week will be on in Yom Pesach.
And maybe even next week we'll start. I have to see what we're gonna. I want to do a big sugya that might take 2 weeks, so we'll have to see. Okay. Good.
Fine.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. It says,
Rashi says,
why did they give
the Yud?